Don't be afraid, your life will have an end. Be much more afraid, it will never have a beginning. Once a week, around the world, this is the Weekly Podcast with Jonathan Doyle. Well, hi there, Jonathan Doyle with you once again for the Weekly Podcast. I hope you've been enjoying recent episodes. I've been sticking the transcripts in there. I've got a fantastic person in London that works for me and does the transcripts. So I know that with technology, some people like to listen to the podcast on the train, the bus, the car, when they're going for a jog, and some people still love to read the text. So with the podcast going forward, you're going to find that you've got all the options there, as well as the video that I do in different places. And if I haven't mentioned this anywhere else, a couple of weeks ago, I got hit by a four-wheel drive while riding my bike. I am alive, I'm well, but I did learn a lot in the process. As you know, a big part of what I suggest in the Weekly Podcast is just how central exercise is and looking after the machine, you know, looking after this body that you've been given. Because if you don't look after that body, if you don't fuel it properly and rest it and train it, then it's hard for the body to serve the whole journey of your life. So there I was. I tend to ride between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. most days. And where I live at the moment, it's about -3 degrees, and I've got all my gear on, got the lights on, and I'm rolling up to this intersection. You know, I'm doing about 30 or 40 kilometers an hour, and then I see this four-wheel drive on the left-hand side coming up to a stop sign. And my brain is doing a slow sort of frame-by-frame take going, they're stopping, oh no, they're not stopping. So the next thing I remember is a kind of thought process that had three components. Number one, am I dead? No. Number two, are my legs broken? No. Number three, is my bike broken? Yes, it is. There's my carbon frame bike in different pieces, but I'm alive. So I got to tell you, the fourth thought, the thing that happened next, was this deep, deep fear of going home and telling Karen and going, Karen, I got hit by a car again. And she freaks out completely. So, but luckily I survived some pretty nasty injuries, shoulder, neck, lower back, and hips. But I am still standing and still delivering the Weekly Podcast, and grateful to God that I'm alive, and I'm pretty excited I can still bring you this content. So near-death experience, and but what have I learned? Well, I don't know. I mean, what can you do? These things happen sometimes in life. You know, tragedy happens. I've thought for a while, we're not very good these days at dealing with tragedy. You know, sometimes stuff happens. You can take all the precautions and things just happen, and we don't have much of a context for tragedy. But, you know, personally, I believe that, you know, God's there looking at the big picture, and I was given another chance. So I am basically here to unleash the Weekly Podcast into the future. And just on that, if you haven't seen the new website design, I put out an email a few weeks ago that has the new website design. And it's really cool. I'm working with a great friend of mine, an old friend, John Hollenberg, that runs a web company called 5x5. And I really recommend John and 5x5. They're fantastic. And if you haven't seen the new site, stay tuned. It's going to be ready in about a week or so. And the other cool thing about that is really going to ramp up the offerings, the things that I'm bringing to you and to many others through the website. One of the things I'm going to do is have a really awesome membership site. So it's going to be about $5 a week per person. And in that, I'm going to pump out about 3 videos a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just a really quick kind of 60-second video that you can get first thing in the morning. And it's just going to give you that extra edge, that deeper insight into what I do on the Weekly Podcast. So, you know, running business like this, the key is to create great content that you're going to love and to get it to you in ways that are really easy to use. Now, if I made a 50-minute video 3 times a week, you'd be there going, Jonathan, well, this is good, man, but I don't have 50 minutes, you know, 3 times a week to watch this. So I've got to give you 60 seconds just 3 times a week. Plus, I'm going to put some longer videos in there and more content. So, you know, for what that is, you know, $5 a week, that's like 1.5 cups of coffee. And you may just be getting once a week an idea that really pushes you along. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to be blatant. I want you to join that membership list because it's a great product. And it's, you know, when I build it, I'm like, you know, would I use it? If there was a speaker or a communicator whose work that I liked and I believe that they could make a difference in my life, would I spend $5 a week to access that content? The answer for me is yes, but I'm not you. I'm just making the pitch, and that'll be ready in a few weeks. So let's get on with this week's weekly podcast. And I've been up as usual from a ridiculous hour, and you know, often I get pumped at this time of day. I'm like the Energizer Bunny, you know. I get up at 4 a.m. I have time for meditation and prayer and work and some weights training, and then you know, I'm really wired this time of day. It's the best time of day for me to bring you this stuff. So I was thinking, okay, what are we doing this week? And I'm working through my notes. And I suddenly realized what I wanted to share with you was a huge breakthrough that I've had this week. And I mean this. This is one of the biggest breakthroughs in terms of work and productivity that I've had probably in about 5-10 years. And this one's gold. So I want you to listen to this. I want you to put the concepts into practice because I know they work. And I want you to share it with a heap of people. I want you to hit send, forward, put it on social. I want people to hear this one because it's really powerful. So simply the title, as you probably saw from the email, is how to stop email and social media from ruining your life. You know, in an internet business like mine, you know, email marketing is still a really big deal. You know, you're still putting email out there trying to reach people. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, email overload. I mean, I've learned recently that it is not enough to have a great product. You can have the best product, but if email's kind of the channel and people are overloaded, it just doesn't matter. Unless they're really passionate about you and what you do, people are just struggling with it. And, you know, the markets that I work in, people are struggling with it. And I'm like, we all feel so overloaded, let alone, you know, social media and what that's adding to the equation, you know, and just how addicted we've become to, you know, to phones, to smartphones. And I know you're sitting there going, well, I'm not. Of course you are. Everybody is. Everybody, you just walk outside. What do you see? One person after another with a phone glued to it like a lab rat. You know, they're just there staring at the phone like, you know, national security depends on them looking at this next email. Oh my gosh, if I don't look at this email, the world will end. Well, it probably won't. You know, interestingly, right, when Barack Obama became president, when anybody becomes US president, you know, one of the first things they do is they take your phone, your BlackBerry, your iPhone, your Samsung, whatever it is, it's gone. You know that? The US president does not have a phone. Probably a couple of reasons. One is national security. You're like, you know, you don't want your phone to get hacked if you're Barack and you're like, you know, launch the missiles. And people go, they hacked that. That's not good. You know, the other reason is maybe they know that if you're the president, you kind of got a lot of things to do, a lot of things to think about. And maybe sitting on the end of a phone all the time is not good for your decision-making and your productivity. Maybe there's a clue there for all of us. But isn't that interesting that, you know, the most influential people in the world tend not to be using these devices? That's really a big clue. And a lot of people who are quite successful will often have PAs. I know, you know, in politics, a lot of senior politicians will have 2 or 3 phones, but they're often managed by their staff. And the only thing that comes up the chain to these senior decision makers is the stuff that really matters. So there's some clues there. I keep saying that. And look, I know you're there going, well, you know, I've got to have my phone. If you're in school, you want to text your girlfriend, boyfriend, or you want to update your profile, whatever it is you want to do. Or if you're a parent, you're like, well, what if my child rings me? Fine. I am not saying don't have a phone or don't use email or don't use social media. I'm going to say, but there are some really important ways that we need to learn how to use it. And the breakthrough that I've had this week is really cool. So I want to talk to you for a second about a book that I read a while ago that had a big impact on me. It's called The Shallows by Nicholas Carr. And that's C-A-R-R, The Shallows by Nicholas Carr. Really powerful book. You know, I read it because I sort of work a lot in the education sector and, you know, working with, you know, big schools and senior decision makers in schools. And I noticed that every school was like charging out there, waving the banner for technology and going, we've got to get kids on iPads and we've got to do this. And it's just on and on and on. I'm going, okay, well, there's some good to that. Yeah, we've got to prepare digital citizens and we've got to be ready for the new technologies and the new economies that we're going into. But when you read his book, it sort of was very powerful. He said, you know, what the internet is doing to our lives. And it's a really worthwhile book to read because he makes the point that, you know, when big technologies come into the world, they actually change powerfully how we live. And he gave a great example from sort of, you know, Europe in kind of the Middle Ages or coming into the, you know, 15th, 16th centuries. He said, you know, people ran their days by the sun, right? So you got up when the sun came up, you worked all day, sun started to go down, that was it. So you didn't kind of say to somebody, hey, let's meet at, you know, let's have coffee at 9. because your average punter in the village was going, what's nine? You know, it's like, what is that? Yes, they had ways of working that out and sundials and different things, and they got more complex. But for your average punter, it was, well, sun's up, game on. Sun's going down, I'm locking the place up, right? Now, electric light and gas light didn't come in for, only till quite recently. But what Carr talks about in the book is, the introduction of town clocks. So I want you to imagine like a village, and they've got that big clock tower. Imagine a village in Europe in kind of Middle Ages into the 16th, 17th centuries. Clock towers start to appear in the villages. So the average punter can suddenly start to see what time it is, and they begin to work their days around the clock and what the clock's telling them. So the way that they lived fundamentally changed because of the technology. Now, I'm not making a value judgment on that. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong or we should, go and live in caves. But the first point is this technology is changing how you live and how you think. And what you want to do here is be in the driver's seat. You want to be the driver of the technology, not having the technology drive you. So the next thing we want to talk about is you've got to understand this neurochemical called dopamine. Dopamine is really important in human life. What is it? Dopamine is your pleasure chemical. It is the part of your brain that it's, Friday night and you've been, looking after yourself all week and eating well and not cheating, and all of a sudden there is cookie cream commotion. And friends, if you do not understand what cookie cream commotion is, you have not lived. I could do an entire podcast on cookie cream commotion. A really good friend of mine years ago introduced me to cookie cream commotion, and it's just this magnificent ice cream. And, when I walk into a supermarket or it's Friday night and Karen says, behold, cookie cream commotion. Basically, in my brain, the neurochemical dopamine goes like this. It's like Homer from The Simpsons. It's like, dopamine surges into your brain. It is the pleasure chemical. So friends, whenever you're feeling pumped, stoked, life is awesome, it is dopamine coming to the party. Now, here is the thing about dopamine, email, and the internet. Basically, every time you check your email, your brain gives you a tiny little drop of dopamine, especially if it's an interesting email. If it's another, lose weight, buy Viagra email, you're like, not so interested. But every time you go to email, we're like the lab rats pressing the lever in the lab experiment. Tiny bit of dopamine goes into your brain. We've got a few problems. Firstly, you get too much dopamine, you then create another neurochemical called deltaFOSB, blah, 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 which actually eats gray matter in the brain if there's too much of it. But the crucial thing is that, if you keep surging in, you keep sort of activating dopamine and there's no result on the end of it, it can lead to things like depressive affect, which is like a feeling of being down, depression, unhappiness, just by constantly going, your brain goes, oh, quick, check email, tiny bit of dopamine, go to the email, nothing too exciting, and there's a drop. So this constant process of, did I get a new tweet? Did somebody mention me? Did I get a text? Did I get this? Did I get that? Is there an email? Now, you're not thinking this. You're not going to your email going, I am now going to give myself a shot. You're not, but you're basically, this is the process, this constant, and it's also very fatiguing. It actually makes you tired to constantly be in this arousal state, constantly going to the device and checking it, and then finding there's nothing important there. So one of the first reasons you want to start changing these habits is because they're not neutral habits. They actually have, biophysiological and neurological effects. And again, we want to be in the driver's seat of those effects, not having them drive us. Okay. The other thing about is, let's say you're working, you could be a student, you're on an essay, or you could be in business, or wherever you are right now, and you're working away on a report or an essay, or you're doing some research, or you're doing something in your job, and then you go, oh, I'll just check email, and your email window's open, or you've got notifications popping up. Every time you go to that email, you are looking at a minimum of 2 minutes or much more until your brain can refocus on the previous task, okay? So you're like doing something really important. You're writing, a report that's going to save someone's life, and you go and check the Viagra email. You come back and you lose track and you say, you type something terrible, but you get the point. Like, if you want to be productive, If you want to be, you know, have influence, get success in your life, then you got to be the kind of person that's in the zone, that's in the flow, that's productive. And friends, every time you go to yourself, oh, it doesn't do that, I just quickly check and I come back. Friends, with respect, I don't care what you think is happening. I can tell you from the research what's actually happening, and we don't want that. You want to be able to stay in that process of flow as long as possible. And just on that, you know, really, we're looking at about 45 minutes. 45 minutes up to 90 minutes max is how long we can be productive for on one given task. That is real gold there for you. I use Google Chrome when I'm working on the computer, and I've got a countdown timer set in there, and I set it to 45 minutes, and every time at 45 minutes, this nice guitar music comes on, and it's like, Jonathan, get off. And I'm learning, and I'll tell you in another podcast what I do at that 45-minute break. But basically, you know, these long periods of switching back and forward, back and forward, back and forward are not allowing us to be productive. Now, the next thing related to that is this whole question of multitasking. You know, what I want you to do is take multitasking, take it around the back of your house and shoot it, because, and bury it, because it doesn't work. We don't multitask. I know we can feel, I've got 15 browser windows open, and I'm posting to social, and I'm checking email, and I'm writing this report, and I'm, you know, doing, I'm Skyping, I'm doing a Google Hangout, I'm all happening at the same time. Wrong. With respect again, with deep respect to you, how you feel about something and what you think is happening may not always be an accurate depiction of what's really happening. So the best stuff out of Harvard Business School, we don't multitask. You know, basically humans have evolved to pay attention to one thing intensely at a time and do that well. You know, you don't paint the Sistine Chapel ceiling while updating, you know, or updating Instagram, friends. You know, Michelangelo wasn't there going, hey, I've just done another piece. Check this out. You know, it's intense focus that will be the difference between people that really succeed and those that don't. Now, the next thing, and I hope you're taking some notes here or you can see this in the transcript, is the impact of constant email on creativity. Now, this is really worth knowing. To become creative, to really just get creative insights and flashes of brilliance and ideas, your brain actually needs something that will shock you. Do you know what it needs? You ready? If you're operating heavy machinery, please turn it off. If you're driving a four-wheel drive and there are cyclists about, please pull over. But here is a huge thing. Your brain needs boredom. That's right. Your brain needs boredom. To be creative, our brains, and this is some great research I looked at recently, our brains actually need boredom. We need to be bored at particular times. And one of the things about this constant hyper dopamine-induced state of alertness and arousal that's driven by too much email and social is that our brains can rarely move into that restful, bored, creative space. I'll give you an example yesterday. I was charging out the door to golf, and I head off in the afternoons each day. And I'm about to go out there, and Karen said, I'll grab your phone. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want it. Why? Because, you know, you pull up at traffic lights, and your phone's there, and you don't want to touch it, and you got to throw it in the back seat because you don't have that much self-control. And then you play golf, and sometimes you're stupid enough that the phone comes with you, and you're taking photos on the golf course, and then you're like, you know, you get back to the car, and you've just played golf, and you're like up checking all your email, and checking social, and checking Instagram, and then, and some of you are listening going, dude, I don't do that. What, play golf? No, I don't actually check stuff that much. But maybe, you know, I'm a bit of an extreme example, but basically, and then you know, you drive home and the radio's on, and yesterday I just jumped in the car and I said, no, I don't want it. Nothing amazing's going to happen in the next couple of hours. And I drove there and I drove back pretty much in silence, had the radio on for a bit. You know, I was in a good mood and I just listened to the radio for 10 seconds and the world's coming to an end and everyone's killing everybody. And so I turned that off. And then I'm just like in this space. And I'll tell you, if you do this, if you actually start to not have those inputs when you're driving, riding, walking, on the train, you know, except for listening to the weekly podcast, of course, then, you know, you just, it's a bit eerie. It's like, wow, this is really kind of quiet. And your brain is not going to jump up and go, thank you so much. You are now giving me boredom and space for creative genius. But basically, you're giving your brain this restful state. I remember years ago, an incredible book that really started me on the journey of reading and postgraduate study and thinking was the famous book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. One of the greatest books I've ever read. Absolutely love it. Passionate about that book. I've, you know, from here in my office, I can see it on my bookshelf and I can remember the journey that book started in my life. But he talks about this beautiful way that insight happens and, you know, these great ideas that we have. And he sort of said, you know, one of them is, you know, like if you're fishing, you know, if you're fishing, you throw the line into the water and your kind of brain just drifts off. You're like, you know, if you don't have, nothing's biting you there, your line's in there and your attention is gently focused sort of on the fishing, but your brain's drifting into other areas, this different alpha state, these alpha waves. And often these great insights and just ideas and this sense of peace can come when your attention is kind of allowed to rest. So that's the point there. If you want creativity, you know, I'm a professional speaker, so heaps of times people are like, can you speak at this conference? Can you come and talk at this? Can you talk on that? And, you know, one of the things I need is creativity. I need insight. I need flashes of like, oh, that's a great idea. And I could honestly say, to be honest with you right now, the internet has really impacted and hit that pretty hard for me. You know, in recent years, just, you know, reading not as much as I used to and too much internet, I've noticed, like, wow, I don't often get those really awesome insights I used to get. So part of the process I'm in at the moment is just cutting back on some of this stuff and then, you know, giving myself better inputs. So, friends, here is the great insight. I started this with the email headline, How to Stop Email and Social Media Ruining Your Life, which is a big claim. So what do? Well, here it is. Very recently, I had known that this was what you were supposed to do. I'd never done it. I made the great big bold decision. And when you hear this, you'll go, that's it? All this noise just for this? And I go, friends, it's very simple, but it's incredibly powerful. And I want to actually tell you what I did. I made a decision that I was simply going to check email once a day, and that's it. And you go, that's it, friends. This is powerful. You know, Tim Ferriss talks about this book in his book, you know, what is it, The 4-Hour Work Week. You know, I think he checks it once a week. Now, he talks about, you know, Mondays at 10 a.m. is the only time he checks it. But here's what I did. I started checking my email once a day at 5 a.m. So I get up at 4, have some time for meditation, thinking, you know, and then I basically get on at 5 and I go through whatever's there. And I essentially have it done by about 5:20 or 5:40 if it's a lot, and that's it. And I do not touch it again. You know, and I'll give you one little sort of get out of jail card. Sometimes if I'm working on other areas of the internet and I need to send an email, I could, you know, write myself a note, send this tomorrow. But sometimes I will jump on using Gmail. I'll just press C because I've got the keyboard shortcuts. I'll just press C, which is compose, and I will, you know, send the email and then that's it, get back out. And maybe I'll jot down 3 or 4 emails I need to send and I'll hit C once and send them. And friends, it's really hard because you log on and there's 20 emails there that you haven't seen. You're like, oh, I just checked. It's like, no, I'm not going to check them. I'm just going to send this one if I really, really have to. And then that's it. And I didn't check them. And I want to tell you what's happening. It has been a massive breakthrough and I'm passionate about it because I think this is what I'm really going to take forward. Here's what's going to happen. Firstly, every day becomes Christmas. Every day. Why? Because look, we love email. The dopamine thing is real. We're like, ooh, email. But instead of this constant checking that's hammering your life in other areas, every day becomes Christmas. At 5 a.m., you open your email and there's 20, 25 emails and you're like, oh, wow, I'm really important. I matter in the world. People have sent me this email. But I'm like, it's really cool. It's like you get excited because it's all there and you get this massive sense of productivity and control because you're like, no, junk, 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 gone, 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 gone. And you just suddenly, you know, you power through quick replies to the ones that matter. And, you know, it's just like Christmas every day and so productive. And just a couple more insights. And I really hope you're taking some notes. You're going to listen to it again or read the transcript. You know, two great things are going to happen. One is your email will begin to dry up. It really surprised me. If you're on email all the time, you know what you're doing? You are generating more and more noise and pointless email in your life. You know, you keep sending, dear Bill, the barbecue was great, thank you. What does Bill do? Bill replies, thank you very much, it was good. And you are like, thank you, Bill, for thanking me. Like, you're just constantly generating email that doesn't need to be generated. So when you go to this once a day thing, you will find your email starts to dry up. It will just completely start to dry up. And look, the other thing I mentioned, or I wanted to mention, was you've got to get to the belief that there is nothing going to happen in a day so damn important that you must reply that day. You know, some of you go, oh, there is, what if my child emails me? Well, you train them. You have to train the people around you. That's actually, write that down. That is really important if you're taking notes. You have to train everyone else. Pretty soon, the people that you email a lot will start to realize that, that basically you only reply once a day. Karen was like constantly saying to me, oh, I sent you an email. And I had to say to her, look, I read them once a day now. So Karen now knows that if she has something that she needs me to print or look at or think about or read, you know, she knows that I'll look at it at 5 a.m. and then we'll go from there. So you've got to train the people around you. But again, remember, your email is going to dry up a little bit anyway. And that's really cool. So the next big pitch is this, that basically when you do this, your productivity is about to go through the roof. You know, yesterday, I powered through so much content creation. I wrote 2 major blog posts, worked on some video, worked on some other stuff, got through a lot of reading. I'm so passionate about reading and constantly learning more. You know, really, really, really cool. So I can promise you it will dazzle you. In the space of a week, you will go, wow. It'll be, and you might even get a bit of anxiety because you'll be like, oh, wow, you know, I'm freaking out. I'm not checking all this stuff, and you know, you feel like, what do I do with this time? Well, what you do with the time is you get productive. You start actually studying more or generating more business, or you know, spending time with your kids or doing whatever it is that floats your boat, but you will be amazed at the productivity increases. Now, you can apply just about everything I've mentioned here to social media. You know, I use, if you're a heavy social user, I use Hootsuite, which is one of the, you know, email, one of the social platforms where you can tie in all your different platforms and post simultaneously. So if I've got, you know, content coming out, I'll jump on Hootsuite and I'll schedule about 10 a day. To different feeds and to different people with different content. But I do that also pretty much first thing in the morning, and then I don't need to touch it again. You can roll back to it later in the day and see what the mentions are and see who said what and who's responded. But friends, I am so convinced that if you were to start to put this into practice, it would blow your mind. Email first, then social. Get off Facebook every 5 seconds, really. But I'll be so disconnected. No, you'll be human and you'll have your life back. And you'll talk to people, looking them in the face and actually talking to them in real life. You know, so I'm not saying don't use it. I'm saying you say to yourself, I'm going to do Facebook at this time, once a day, that's it. And, you know, I've got so many people that listen to the weekly podcast, but I know that, you know, that only a few of you will really take this forward. And I'm talking to you personally now. Do this. This really works. And, you know, I just love putting this stuff out there, stuff that I've tested in my own life, because I know it works. I want you to listen to this again. I want you to forward it to some people. This is free. The only payment I ask is that you would help me grow the reach of the podcast. I'd love you to go to iTunes, search for Jonathan Doyle, the weekly podcast, and just put a ranking in there for iTunes. That would be a massive help to me, and I'll put the iTunes short link under the podcast, so you can just click on that, go to iTunes. Makes a huge difference. Really pushes the podcast up there. Send it to a couple of friends. Grab 2 or 3 friends that you care about, that you know are motivated, passionate people, and say, hey, I listen to this guy. It's a really good podcast. Listen to this. So stay tuned. This new membership site's going to be ready in just a couple of weeks, and I've worked with some great people. Shout out to Steve Ovens, who is a membership guru, to John, I've mentioned. So friends, I'm excited about that. I want you to join it. It's going to be gold, and I want you to help me make it awesome by feedback and telling me what you want. So that's it for the weekly podcast. That's a good one. I'm going to say that myself. I'm going to come out and just say it. I like that podcast. I'm going to listen to it again myself. Enjoy it. Share it. It's a huge privilege to get to speak into your life. I hope it's useful. Have yourself an awesome week, and I really look forward to speaking to you again about the same time again next week. This is Jonathan Doyle with the Weekly Podcast. Speak to you very soon.
Well, there you go. Another powerful idea to create real change in your life from Jonathan Doyle. Make sure you post your comments in the box below the podcast or add your comments by finding Jonathan on iTunes. Want to find out more about Jonathan's books, products, or speaking events? Then visit him at fbjonathan.com. Now get out there and live the life you were made for, and have a great week.